I'm Iron Mile Mason, and you're listening to Beyond the Barbell.
It's over and over again because I messed up the first time so badly.
The first thing you have to say is, I'm Rebecca Voigt, and you're listening to...
That'll be the last thing she does because I've now already set up the sound for everything else. We're good to go. Didn't have to be the first thing.
I love
so
you guys.
So you can't leave until you say that.
Okay.
Yeah. We can't get our sound parting bites. Raspberry lemonade.
Right. Your parting gifts.
Yeah. What mic are you on, Blair? Do you know?
I do not know.
Good.
Find out, though. I'm on three. Four.
Four. Okay.
So you're learning as you go on this? Is that, or have you have experience in?
I've got a lot of experience learning as I go.
Well, that's all I'm doing.
We've had 70 episodes worth of experience.
Okay.
But
all right.
But believe it or not, they all run about like this. Like you'd think it's the first time every time.
That's fine.
But it's not. It's actually.
It just keeps it authentic.
I think Eric knows a lot about that thing.
Yeah, you got soundboard don't experience? Yeah.
Is that a real job?
Yeah.
I'm just joking. I know, right?
He's got his name on a bunch of like records.
Oh, that's stuff cool.
For like
that's really cool.
That's way cool.
POD and... Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
There's only like a couple studios that can do that, right? That have a good recording studio.
Yeah.
For like album quality?
Yeah. I mean, it used to be like I worked at a studio where Nirvana did Nevermind, and they had like a massive room for drums, and it was like known for the drums, but like now, like people just do stuff everywhere. Like,
okay.
It's not as important anymore.
Yeah.
Everything goes into the computer and gets manipulated, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
That's cool.
Do we need to turn that off?
No, I can't hear it. No, these are fine. So cool, by the way. This air conditioner just like hangs on the wall and like works so well.
Cools it
the
like
game.
20 degrees down in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
All right. I'll intro the show. You can intro Becca.
All right, sure.
Since last time we did it the other way around, I think. Okay. I was going to ask something, but I'll wait for the show. All right, guys. Welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I am Ben Alderman.
I'm Blair Morrison. We're sitting here with Rebecca Voigt, 9-time CrossFit Games competitor, the only athlete to ever accomplish that feat. Becca, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's just start there with that. You're at the CrossFit Games. We're now actually a couple of events in.
Yes.
And this is now your 9th go at it. Anything feeling different? Is it just kind of same old, or do you still have a kind of games thrill?
Oh, there's still games thrill for sure. I mean, it's exciting every year. I'm fortunate to be able to do it again. It's always different because you never know what you're going to get with the events, with Dave Castro, with the staff and stuff. So, you know, yesterday we flew over to Aromas. We did our first 3 events and then kind of hung out at the airport for quite a time with Southwest issues and then flew home. So that was, you know, the first time we've ever done that. And I think it's really cool. I was talking to a lot of the athletes and I was like, oh, have you been to Aromas? And they're like, no. And I think I was more excited for them than I was for myself. And so I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. And people were just looking at me like I was just crazy. But people don't get it. People don't get, like, even yesterday, even as cool as it was and as dirty as it was, and that's how Aromas was in 2009 and 2008, the people made it. So
it didn't feel
that.
The same yesterday.
No.
Yeah. I was gonna ask you about that because being that this is your 9th time, it's almost like with the way you guys flew back there yesterday, it's like you're going back to your roots, going back to the beginning. And like, I was wondering if it really lived up to your memory.
It really did. I mean, we did pull up and I literally like, because I thought I was going to Disneyland, just sat up into the seat and just looked at everything and just brought back a lot of memories to different people that I met and different experiences and workouts that we did for both of those years. So that was the cool part. But it did kind of, when you started the workouts, you didn't have the crowd, like that hill sprint. When we did that in 2009, the hill was lined with people. And so every step of the way, people were screaming at you to go faster and faster. And while the judges and volunteers that were there did do that, and they were nice enough, it just, there wasn't that electrifying feeling. So,
did you ever think about, you know, I just wondered, have you ever speculated where the games are going and thought, maybe one year we're going to jump on a plane and go somewhere off-site? Did you think that would ever happen?
We actually, Emily Bridger, Stacy Tover, and myself were in Atlanta like 3 weeks ago, and we totally talked about that. And I was like, you know, I don't think we'd ever do it. It just seems like logistically it would take, you know, a lot of planning, and I was wrong.
They pulled it off.
Yeah. Stacy was there in 2009 also.
Yeah, she
was. How many athletes were there that had been there before?
I think there was 5 or 7 that rose their hand.
Oh, he asked to see who had been there before.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So we got kind of quizzed that way. And
do you remember who the other ones were?
Annie Thor's daughter was there. Christy Atkins, who was Phillips at the time. Yeah, Annie. I said Annie.
Some of the guys?
There's one guy. But
only one guy.
So the girls have been...
Ben Smith.
Ben Smith. That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. And I know. I was talking to Bridges, and he's like, yeah, I've never been to the ranch. And I was like, you're like best friends with Dave Castro, and you've never been to the ranch. And he's like, no, I've never been here. And I was like, oh, I was really excited for him, too. So it was gnarly, though. The 7K run was...
It was a different track, right?
It was a different track. And the terrain, while it was very similar, the conditions of... like the hill were completely different because now we're in like this huge drought.
Oh, true.
So yeah. It's dry. There was no shade. I remember you were there, right?
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah. So I remember going down into kind of the
gully.
Gully. And it being completely dark and shady. And this time it wasn't. It was hot the entire time. You were sliding down those hills and just dust clouds. Like some of the pictures are starting to leak, or not leak, but be released. And the pictures are just crazy cool because the dust behind the people are just, it's like just a wall of it.
How taxing was it, like jumping off the plane and going into that whole situation? Like, you know, he talked about like the game's thrill. Did it kind of bring more of that back for you because of the nostalgia, I guess, part of it, and make the 7K more difficult and kind of hard to control yourself at all? Or was it just like...
It felt
actually maybe better.
Yeah, I mean, it felt the same getting off the plane, and we all felt pretty good, I think. You know, we woke up at 3:30 in the morning, or we left at 3:30 in the morning. I chose to wear pants and some of the shoes that we were given, which were like all-terrain shoes, and so that was a little different for me. Not that it was bad. I just felt like my legs were really heavy, and I kind of regretted my decision to wear some of the pants, really.
Are they worried about, like, poison oak and stuff again?
They talked about poison oak. They talked about how ticks are really bad right now.
Snakes.
They said there are a few cougars, or I don't know if it's cougars, bobcats, or whatever. One of those vicious animals.
Large cats.
They said bears, but I think they were bullshitting with us.
Yeah.
Because I really doubt. I mean, probably at one point there were bears, but I doubt there's bears up there now. So they did warn us about that stuff. What I thought was interesting, and they might not even realized it, but there were so many like gopher holes or potholes throughout the whole course. And I think it's because the land is so dry that even spots that were flat at one point, like with all of us running on it, there was just a ton of divots. So I know there's at least 3 athletes that sprained their ankles.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Jen Smith tore something in her foot.
She pulled out, yeah.
No, she's still in. She's still killing it.
Really?
She's injured and she's killing it currently.
Wow.
Like, she had to take last place in the run, the 7K, and because the 7K led right into the deadlift, they wouldn't let her deadlift. So she took 240th places in that, but then kicked butt on the GHD wall ball workout, and even this morning on the swim, she did really well. So,
wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
With the experience that you have, obviously a lot of the athletes probably look up to you and ask you for advice because, you know, behind closed doors, this is a competition, but it's also kind of a community feel where you guys can talk to each other and
sure
help out with strategy on something like the 7K run. You know, we've seen in the past people really go out too hard and ruin themselves.
Right.
I have kind of like two questions. One, was there anybody that, you know, had a little bit too much jitters and went out too fast that you saw? And two, when was the last time that you did that in a workout? Because I feel like that's never your MO. You're always slow and steady.
Yeah.
But do you remember the last time you kind of made that mistake and got too hyped up?
Well, I don't really think anyone did that. I think that people did like come out the gates a little hot, but then reeled it in real fast. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like when they got to the point where it was just like, oh, the wheels are falling off. Right. I didn't see that.
Like where Kalipa needed an IV.
Right, right. That did not happen. Or Val like literally tumbling down.
Yeah. The, like the a cartoon. Final.
Yeah, that was bad. That was so bad. If you've never seen that, to the listeners, if you've never seen that video, you got to go back and look at it. It's pretty intense. Have I done that? You know, it's being at the games for 9 years and doing this for so long, it's really hard to get to that point because that's just a place that my body and my mind don't want to go to straight out from the, you know, 3-2-1 go. I may need to do that at some point this weekend and see what happens. But no, I'm very calculated in how I do things. And, you know, usually that pays off to my benefit, like regionals. Regionals really paid off.
Yeah.
So, no.
I called that, by the way, you doing well at regionals. We had like a little bet going on and we were talking about like our top five.
Right, we tried to predict like who's gonna be the top five,
and I think I just got to your name before Blair did, but I was like,
I'll give Ben credit. He's like, Becca's gonna have a really good year.
So
well, thanks.
Yeah, but you know that consistency, I think pays off, and what you're talking about, just being at the game so long, doing so many events, and like, I mean, at the games, you guys are typically doing 10 to 11 scored events. Mm-hmm. You know, this year's maybe even more.
13, I think.
You know, the right? Scored events.
I don't know.
You know, so it's like going out super hard in something like that just doesn't seem to pay off anymore. It's like, okay, to let the workout kind of come to you, you know, so to speak, and see how you're going to, I don't know, game plan it from there.
Right.
So.
Well, I remember in 2010, there was a lot of people that went out really hard on Amanda under lights. That was such like a new environment. And
some great video from that.
Some great video footage from that of people just...
I mean, we've already mentioned him, but Jason did a really good job on that one.
Just snatch after snatch after that snatch.
Was,
but those are like cool pivotal moments for an athlete, right? Where you remember or you learn what not to do, you know? And I'm sure you've had those moments throughout your career.
Oh, absolutely.
But... now I think a lot of athletes, and we've talked about this off the air, kind of how there's like a changing of the guard that kind of goes on from veterans to rookies. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, are you having some of those conversations this week with some of the younger girls coming up who are maybe a little green? Maybe not so much about the workouts themselves because everybody has their own strategy, but just about how to kind of be a professional.
No, I mean, there's not really that much. I think there's a lot of intimidation right now. There's so many rookies this year, so a lot of people are really quiet. So a lot of us try to reach out and talk, but then talk to each one of them and, you know, just say hi and try to, you know, extend that hand that we were extended back then. But no, it's not really how to act. I think people, like, I don't know if there was a clip. Someone said there was a clip online of me telling everyone to pick up their trash yesterday. I mean, that's something that I've done for a really long time just because I feel like it's a respect thing, especially being in Dave Castro's like house. Like we were on his property. And so I just gave everyone a reminder to pick up their trash, and a bunch of people, like one athlete rolled his eyes and some people were like, okay, thanks, Mom. And it's just one of those things where it's,
say what you want, just do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, whatever, you know, it's just a respect thing and you should pick up after yourself because a lot of us are gym members or owners and we don't like picking up after other people at our gym. So why would it be any different for Dave Castro's barn or even the StubHub Center? I get that there's people that are supposed to, that their job is to clean, but why not pick up a few pieces of trash on the way out? It is ours by, you know, so it was interesting. And some people will talk to me. Some athletes have talked to me, and I just give them my advice. like, I know we're all competitors, but in the end, it's like, you know, if I have something that's going to help them, cool. You know, do I want to be on top of the podium? Hell yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. But me telling them to, like, wear a second swimsuit if they're not comfortable in the one they have to wear or something like that, like, whatever. If they beat me, it's not because, you know, that second piece of clothing was the advantage, you know. So, I, you know, I have no problem helping someone out, and that's just kind of who I am. So no one really asks, like, how do I act, you know. There are some athletes out there that I don't talk to just because I feel like they're a little too young, and it's kind of like, okay, we'll let them figure it out on their own, or they're just going to burn out.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that what you're talking about is, like, you're not acting that way because you're a veteran. You're acting that way because that's just, like, the right way to act, right? Like, picking up your own trash and, you know, helping people when they ask for help. Is there any part of you that is eyeing that 10 times CrossFit Games athlete already, or does that have a nice ring to it, or are you just happy to be here for number nine?
I mean, Dave Castro already asked me in the first initial dinner if I'm going for 10, and I told him, yeah, I am. But it's one of those things, it's like, I'm not going to break a streak before it's broken, so I have to at least try. You know, that's just kind of what the thought process is. You know, going to regionals this year, we had, Eric and I, my husband, we had a lot of talks like this, you know, I might not make it this year, and I just have to be realistic, and I need to enjoy the process. And it's probably something that I need to remember here today, and going into the weekend. But, you know, when it's over as an individual, but I'm going to compete for as long as I possibly can, which a lot of people, athletes that I talk to don't understand that. I mean, I've done this for 10 years. It's been 10 and a half years, you know, not competing, but doing CrossFit. And to do something different, that would be probably a huge adjustment. So, you know, in my head, you know, team, masters, go from there. Obviously, it's going to slow down, and it will slow down. But, you know, right now, you know, I got to go for 10.
Yeah. And I mean, it's part of your life anyways, right? That's one of the things that makes CrossFit a little bit different is, you own a gym.
Yeah.
You're going to work out like this, even if you weren't competing. So it's like, how much extra do you have to put in to still be relevant? When you have this much momentum that you do and you're healthy, it's like, really, it's just keep the ball rolling.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe you can talk a little bit about that, how you can be consistent and not get hurt and keep yourself almost, you know, at the top of the game, where a lot of people seem to tail off. Obviously, you can only speak to your own experience, but
right.
I think that's probably the main question most people want to know is, like, how are you doing this at your age?
Yeah, I mean, that is a really good question, and I honestly...
For the record, we're all the same age, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying you're old.
Well, I'm 35. Old. I think I'm still older than you two.
I'm 33. I'm the younger.
You're not 33.
Yes, I am 33.
He's lying. He turns 34 in like 2 days.
I do. Oh, I turn 34 days. On July on Monday. So. Yeah.
Well, I'm 34.
I'm 33. Okay.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I mean, it's still a mystery to me, and I don't know if my husband can speak to it, but I feel like I'm always working on my weaknesses. Strength is a big piece that I'm still missing, but it's really just going back to the drawing board and maybe being really stubborn. I honestly can't give an answer to why it keeps happening and why I keep improving, and being able to come back to the games. I can tap into my experiences. I feel like regionals this year was a lot about experience, but I just won't settle. I'm very stubborn with that, and so if I'm bad at something, I'm going to work towards it and try to learn and grow from it, you know, surround myself around people that are better than me and try to, you know, feed off of that. But
how seriously do you take, like, nutrition and recovery?
Well, now it's a little different. I do eat well. I'm not as regimented as I used to be. Back in 2012 and 13, it was really strict. Like, I really don't really like sweet potatoes much anymore. Like, the taste of sweet potatoes is kind of gross. Yes. Or at least the orange ones, the yellow ones. So, you know, there's some things that, you know, have switched over. Like, I'll eat regular French fries. You know, it's not because I don't care about
that's
the
disgusting.
Health factors.
This podcast is over.
Right.
I can't believe I just
heard
that.
Because we didn't go to In-N-Out no. earlier today and have regular French fries. Right. None of us.
They're so delicious. But, you know, nutrition, I pay attention to what I'm eating. Sometimes I'll log it and try to keep everything, you know, balanced. I'm not going to say I count my macros, but... you know, everything in moderation. If I want a glass of wine, sure, I'll have it. I eat a piece of dark chocolate every night, but, you know, I try to stay on the healthier side. We cook almost every meal. We do go out here and there, but for the most part, we cook at home.
Right, so nothing special, nothing crazy.
I mean, there's no secret. And, I mean, maybe talk to Annie Thor's daughter or any of these people that are literally at the top of the leaderboard, because maybe there is a secret. So I don't know.
Being from Iceland is a secret.
Maybe.
You know, I want to touch on that a little bit because, and you know, not to make this about me, but I've had people ask me about like steroids and things like that, like being older, being a little bit stronger, you know what I mean, and still being competitive. And people will kind of like, hey, you know, like even we spoke with Dave and he's like, you're probably on the watch list because of some of your associations and maybe because you lift a little heavier, things like that, and you get watched.
Right.
How much do you think that and is relevant in the games athletes? Do you think that's happening? Do you think that steroids are prevalent in order to keep people competitive, or do you think that's not really gotten to our sport yet?
I mean, I'm sure there is some steroid use going on, or, you know, performance-enhancing drugs, maybe not specifically steroids, but I'm sure there's that going on. Do I know firsthand? No, I don't. Have I thought about it to try? Yeah, of course, there's always a thought. I don't think I'd be normal as a professional athlete had I not thought about it, but at this point, I can't taint my reputation, you know, for that. You know, age is a huge factor into this. You know, recovery at our age is a lot harder. You know, when they're 21-year-olds bouncing around and they're recovering a lot faster, do I want to say it's steroids and they're cheating? Sure. But really, it could be just that they're really young, you know. Is it going around? I would say, yeah, probably. It's probably running around there. Are we going to find it? I don't know. My question is how many drug tests came back, you know, and CrossFit kind of swept it under the rug. That's my big question. I've asked, you know, Rory, I've asked him on a call before, and he's like, that's never happened. But it's like, okay, are we sure?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's definitely, it's
did
not,
something get lost somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
I mean there's all these questions because there's only like, what, two or three people that have ever been popped for drug use. And so, and these are athletes that are like professional athletes, but, you know, maybe not at the height of their game, but they get popped. So it's like,
right.
They're not the only ones that.
No, because the only people that get tested are people that are on the watch list or that are qualifying for the games. Right.
Right.
From regionals. Those are the only ones guaranteed to get tested. Process probably needs to get to a point where everybody who qualifies for regionals gets tested during the year, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, you can take some stuff and then just have it out of your system by the time regionals comes around, because, you know, that's the only time you might get tested.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You should have to take it at check-in and if you're top five also. So you take it at check-in at regionals and then also top five.
I don't know if that would even matter, though, because that's just a short period of time. Right. And what Blair's talking about is, like, you know, early in the season in January, you have these huge strength gains, you know, because you're using something and then you just pull off, you know,
right,
a couple
right.
months later, you're still going to, even if the people say that you won't benefit from it, you absolutely will benefit from it. If your muscle knows what it needs to do and where it can go, then it will retain some of that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We would need an expert. I'm no expert.
I need steroids for my aerobic capacity.
Like, oh, sure, sure.
I don't know where you get those, but I need those. Right.
Your muscles don't know where they need
steroids
to go.
For competition, I'm probably going to be like 235 showing up at regionals and not able to do a single chest bar pull.
Right. You know? Yeah. Legless rope climbs, you're just sitting at the bottom.
Yeah, that'd be bad. That'd be my problem.
It was interesting at regionals this year, though, because I had blood work done and urine for the drug test. And I know that a handful of the athletes did, too. I don't think they tested all the top five with blood. But I know that at least myself and Lauren got blood work done. I know Emily Bridgers got blood work done. So
that's interesting. Some stuff. That's new, right?
That's new. Yeah, that's definitely new.
So they did urine for everyone and then blood work for like a few spots.
Yeah, I guess they just selected who. Yeah.
Yeah. And the huge obstacle to like a more thorough testing policy is cost, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
It's really expensive to do blood testing for growth hormone and kind of these more of these designer drugs.
What does that mean though? What does cost mean? Like, is it a urine test $100 and a test for HGH is $10,000? Right? Because I mean, we just had every single athlete hop on a plane, you know what I mean, and fly to Aromas, right, or to Santa Cruz, whatever, San Jose, right? Like, what are we talking about in terms of cost? Double, triple, quadruple, right? Like, so everybody talks about it being so expensive, but is it really not possible? Right, or are we just maybe
I think it's really expensive.
Okay.
And I think it's very time consuming as well, as far as I understand. Okay. I'm not an expert, but I think that there are those factors that come into play. So
yeah, which is why the Olympic committees, they have a third party company that does it 100%. That's their whole job, is to like go test all these athletes, and it's
How long does it take to be, basically stripped of your medal if you do get popped? I mean, I think it's what, months?
Yeah, it's up to 6 months afterwards, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're going to get there. Honestly, I do. When we talk to Dave on here on this podcast, they're saying they're going further and further. They're adding more and more people to their watch list that they're trying to get every year. But like everything, it's just a process,
right?
And
he was saying that they were playing catch up a little bit, right? Because the bad guys are always going to be slightly ahead, right? Because they're always looking for an angle, right? And so he's so we're always playing catch up to the cheaters, right? Because they're always trying to find a new way to cheat,
right?
So we find a new way to test because they're found a new way to cheat.
And there's other sports out there that it's not, it is acceptable to use, and so those people have figured it out. So it's easy. I'm sure the resources are pretty easy.
Yeah.
If we want to find information, we have all a friend that you could probably ask,
Yeah. Yep. Everybody's got friends that do that.
Yep.
I know I do.
Yeah. Right. So, life outside of CrossFit.
Yeah.
What does that look like for you these days? I know you have a gym.
Yeah, we own CrossFit. My husband and I own CrossFit Training Yard. We just bought a house. So the last
congratulations.
Thank you.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's so awesome. It's just an amazing big living area. And we have carpet, which is a big deal for me. Central cool. air. We have a washer and dryer. These are all things that we didn't have in the old place. We have a backyard. So it's just been, the last 2 weeks have been pretty hectic, mostly for Eric, but, we moved in the last 2 weeks. So that's been a little hairy. We have a puppy. So we have a 6-month-old puppy named Tucker, and he's pretty cool too. So it looks, life outside of this is basically running the gym, trying to unpack right now and, playing with Tucker and Eric's son, Caden. So it's just, it's a good life. Just, I like my life.
Just a regular couple, just getting a dog, having a house.
With carpet.
Going to the CrossFit games.
Don't forget the carpet. I haven't laid on it yet. I'm really excited to go home.
Just flop down on the ground and just lay there.
Yes.
Yeah. Sprawl out.
Do you get kind of as much like joy and satisfaction from those type of real life accomplishments or more typical accomplishments like buying a house, getting a dog, as you do from, your profession, your sport?
Oh, I think more so.
More so.
I think opening a gym is way cooler than being in the CrossFit Games, myself. I think that owning this house is way more impactful than going to the games for the ninth time. Absolutely. People ask, like, how does it feel to go to the games for the ninth time? I'm like, it's exhausting. It's like, you know, why does it keep happening? How does it keep happening? It's like, I have no idea. I don't know why it's happening. I don't think it's this huge deal. Do I appreciate that it has been a big deal this year? Absolutely. I feel like I'm very grateful for everybody who is, you know, Dave Castro let me stand up for, you know, when he asked me, you know, who's been here for the ninth time. So I stood up and all the athletes cheered, and that was incredibly special.
Yeah.
But, you know, owning a house is, that's grown up shit. That's cool.
Yeah.
So that's way more special to me, and I get to do that with my husband. You know, we're going on our year anniversary, and so that's really a standout moment as well. So this is just icing on the cake, really.
That's good.
Yeah, Becca Voigt's got a great life, you know? It just sounds like really, really awesome. That's cool. I know, like, when, I got into this sport, and I'm quote-unquote younger than you guys, but I'm like the same age as you guys, but I got into the sport a little bit later, and so I was constantly looking at, and I've talked to Blair about this, and we've had different people on the show I have to talk about this with, but you know, we get onto main site and we look at names on the little .com, you know, and who did what, you know. I can remember reading Blair's name and your name. And I remember in 2012, the very first time I met you, you know, you talked about just the kind of mentality that you try to have when you're competing and, you know, the veteran mindset, but it's really just, it is your mindset. Like, you were so helpful to me, you know, when I had just completed my first regional and then went down and competed on a team with you, which was, just so you know, was probably one of the most intimidating things ever, you know, in 2012 for me, and just made it so, you know, easy, and you were helpful and you were like kind. And my wife was like, this girl is amazing. Like, and she thought you were the best, and my kids think you're the best. And so anyway, just really, really cool for me to sit here and like with Blair too. And with you, and just
thanks, buddy. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I usually give him a hard time on the show about being skinny and weird looking, but for the most part, you know, in a lot of ways, I've looked up to the two of you guys. To have you guys on the show is actually really cool. I don't know where I was going with that because I got too wrapped up into how
nostalgic.
Much
nostalgic.
Yeah, too nostalgic. But it's been really, really cool to watch this happen from a little bit closer than just a person who's. I don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. This has been really cool.
Yeah. You always pull for your friends. Absolutely. You pull for strangers or people that you're fans of or you think they're really talented. And we talked about this, you know, within different, like with the Reebok community, like you have friends that you see once or twice a year and you always pull for them. So I think you definitely fall into that category for us on this show. You're a friend of the program.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I consider you guys my friends. And it's interesting because those have been to the game so many times backstage. You can see it. It's like we all are together. I mean, people might say it's clicky, but it's not. We welcome anybody, but you can just tell, like, you're rooting. Like, I'm rooting for my training partners, but I'm also rooting for, you know, Camille and, you know, Christy, people that I've known for many, many years. And I do consider friends, even though we don't see each other very often. But, you know, as soon as you get together, it's like, it's very familiar, it's comfortable, and it seems like you didn't even miss a beat.
I want you to think back, and this is going to be kind of difficult, and I want you to try to pick out a couple of moments from the CrossFit Games.
Okay.
A couple of moments, or one moment maybe from, you know, your gym, your box, because it's been open, what, 3 years now?
Two years
now?
Yeah.
So that should be easy. Gosh, that's just fresh memories. Just think of a couple of your favorite memories from your competitive life and then from your professional life, and kind of share those with the people listening.
Just memories in general, like
highlights.
Highlights.
Yeah, like things that stand out to you.
Obviously, obvious is being finally making it to be on the Barbell Podcast would not be.
I mean, that's top of my list. Of course,
you don't have to say that one. But
that's the obvious.
We get it.
Okay. Here, I'll give you some time to think about it, and I'll give you an example.
Okay.
So, the Sandbag Hill Sprint, which was in 2009, was That was my first year at the CrossFit Games, and it was the worst event I've ever done. Still, yes. A lot of people agree with that. And so it's fun to talk about. Mm-hmm. I remember distinctly chasing my now friend Sven from Iceland up the hill with the sandbags, and I was like the rabbit in that heat. So I was out fast and then crashing hard, trying not to trip over my own toes because I couldn't lift them up high enough to drag above the dirt. Making it to the finish line, falling on the ground, assuming that I had taken last place in that workout because I felt so bad, and saying out loud, I'm retiring from CrossFit.
Did you really?
Yeah. Three events in. Because you know how, you remember how that felt?
Oh, that was horrible.
Could not move
horrible.
For 15 minutes. Like, yeah. The worst. People were being carted down the hill on the four-wheelers.
I was carted down.
Perfect. You remember. So, like, I remember that. That's just a standout memory for me. It's not, like, my most triumphant memory.
Right.
But, like, it's very, like, a visceral memory of... that moment being like, I'm done. And then, you know, here I am, whatever, 7 years later, eight right. years later, still competing and still doing it. But right. I just I totally remember that moment. So something of that quality.
I do remember the first year that we were swimming in the ocean. That would be 2011, I believe.
Yep.
In 2011, not the best swimmer. I've gotten significantly better, still not the best swimmer. But we're swimming, right? And we're coming back in, and I see the bottom of the ocean. So I think I can stand up. And so I'm exhausted from this 200-meter swim that we did. I think it was 220.
It's nothing.
It was like nothing, right? And so we're still a ways into shore, and I have Camille next to me, this girl that I have met maybe twice now. I think she was in 2010. So I met her twice. And... she's next to me and we're swimming and all of a sudden I'm trying to stand up. But as I try to stand up, I'm basically drowning myself and I'm choking and like swallowing a bunch of salt water. And she literally looks at me and screams my name and just tells me to keep swimming. Right. And so I come together, I get it together. I swim in, we continue to do our Murph and I end up beating Camille. Okay. She will not let me live this memory down to this day. To this day, she reminds me every time how she saved my life, and then I beat her in the workout. And I still remember like being in the water and just look. I can see her face and have her like screaming at me to keep swimming. And that's just one of those memories that I probably will never forget, mostly because Camille won't stop telling me. But
she also has a very particular way of speaking.
Yes,
I'm sure
she does.
Stands out in your memory.
If you ever ask her husband how she sounds, he's pretty good at it.
That sounds really cool. That's funny because you talked about like feeling like you felt like you were going to die and you were going to retire from CrossFit.
Retired, hey.
You talked about like nearly dying and drowning, yeah. Right? And I'm sitting here in this chair like I'm really trying to make it to the CrossFit Games for the first time. And now I'm like, you know, maybe it's not worth it. But my memory I'm going to take away is like something of a near-death experience.
Right, but they're great stories. They're so great.
Obviously,
oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. That would be amazing.
We actually did kind of a memory lane thing when I was in Atlanta with Rory and CrossFit HQ. And it was just a trip to hear like Stacy's memories and Emily's memories. And it just really like triggered a lot for me as well. I mean, we could pick every year and I can pinpoint something that really stands out to me. I remember competing next to Katie Hogan and I have a vivid photograph in my head that we have. And it's her and I standing behind the barn or in front of the barn, excuse me. And there's a drape, just a black like screen that's kind of hiding the whole opening of the barn. And we're just standing there, and it's just a picture of us with our hands on our hips, and we're just ready to tackle. It was the sandbag sprint, and it was just it's a badass picture, and I have that snapshot in my head, and that's a cool memory, you know. Katie Hogan's my best friend, and so we've experienced a lot, and so those are memories that, you know, you'll never forget. It's really the people that really impact me. A lot of these people are like, remember when this happened at the games? And I'd be like, but I remember people. I remember, you know, those people that kind of I was able to share those moments with. And so those are the ones that stand out to me.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point.
Not events, but people.
Right. We hear that a lot.
Yeah.
Backstage stuff. People tell like stories about backstage, but also like the moments before the workout, because like you said, that snapshot of you like preparing to do this thing that ended up being the hardest thing ever that you didn't know it then. But
right.
That's such a cool moment in time. And there's a lot of those stories out there about people in the tunnel going out, right? As people are announcing their names. We talked to Matt Chan. He was talking about that as like one of the greatest rushes ever, is being in the tunnel at the StubHub Center, hearing Castro say your name, your gym.
Oh yeah.
And then running out under the lights. Like, I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
You know, it's so funny that you say that, because it's to this day, like regionals, the first workout that's announced and who I represent almost moves me to tears seconds before I'm going to compete. Because it's just that huge, that pride piece. I'm so proud of being able to represent CrossFit Training Yard. And then the people in the stands are just screaming their heads off. And I know they're so proud of me. It's just one of those, that's another standout. Those always stand out. I remember, I can pick out pieces in 2015, which is the first year that we were open, of my members. I could pinpoint members in the stands and remember which workout I did, because I remember staring at them and telling myself not to let them down. Yeah. Like, I can't, you know, drop off the bar as soon as I want to, because they'll be kind of disappointed. And so, yeah, there's a few moments like that that I just remember, in that stadium, you know, the muscle up biathlon is one of them, because every time I drop off the damn rings, I had to make that 200 meter run. And every time I turned the second corner, there was CrossFit Training Yard. And I ran a lot on those. I had a lot of penalty runs, and every single time they cheered like it was the first time. And it was so cool, because I could see them. And so I was like, all right, got to keep going. So yeah, it's really the people that stand out the most to me.
Wow. I think that we have, before we let you go, because we know you're really busy, we have a couple of questions from some of our listeners on Instagram. We let them know we were going to sit with you
awesome.
And talk with you, and they wanted to ask you a few questions.
Turns out that you have some fans.
Sweet.
Yeah. That's good.
All right. There's two. No, I'm just kidding. There's a bunch
There's
here.
There's two.
we're just gonna pick out a few here, just so we can, like I said, let you recover a little bit. But on that note, Siska 1014, I'm not sure who that is, but it's a girl. She said, what CrossFit Games has been the toughest to recover from, and what has been your favorite event from the Games?
2015 was probably the hardest one to recover from. I remember at this point going into Friday, I think I was pretty wrecked. Really sore, so I feel pretty good now. But 2015 was
paddle swim.
It was a paddle swim and the sprint. I don't know why I feel like, even this today, I was thinking about that, how I just felt so bad. Yeah, 2015 was pretty rough. They're all pretty terrible, but 15 stands out the most, not because it's the most frequent or the one that happened not too long ago, but just because that's the one that seems like it was the worst.
How long did it take you to recover from that Games, the overall? Like, you finished on Sunday, you know, you guys had people dropping like flies after Murph.
Yeah.
Like, how long did it take for you to feel like yourself again? We asked Sarah this same question.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and she said it took her like, what, 3 months?
She said the week of Granite
Sarah
Games.
Sarah Sigmund's daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah. She said it took her to the Granite Games to feel.
I'm surprised 100%. She didn't say like 3 days.
Yeah. She said she worked out the next day because she was so pissed. But she didn't feel like herself again until.
Yeah, I was going to say it did take a couple months to feel like you could get into a workout and really dig into a workout.
Is that more mindset, or is that because your body still is actually recovering?
I think it's both.
You think it's both?
I think it's both. I think I worked out probably 5 days later, but nothing crazy. Actually, that's a lie. I think we worked out 3 or 4 days later, and that's only because Sam Briggs was still in town, and she's like, hey, you want to do a workout? And I was like,
that doesn't sound like Sam at all.
Sure.
Want to do a workout?
Yeah. I think we did like 100 burpees and did like 30 minutes on the assault bike. It was gnarly.
Not even anything fun. You guys just did.
But my friend wanted to hang out with me.
Yeah, it's
so.
About the people, right? It's about the people.
Seriously. My favorite workout would probably be the midline march. I mean, that was a fun one. It really was to my strengths. But it was also a fun one, and I took third in that event, so that was pretty cool. But I really like handstand walks, and I really like putting barbells over my head and walking with them.
Have you ever won an event at the games?
Yes, I have. I've won.
That's a rare thing. Not a lot of people have won two events.
The rope climb sled push one is one that I won in 2012. I think it was
2012. Was it? Were there like multiple ropes?
It was a 20-foot rope, and then there was the tackling dummy for football sled.
Yeah. All right, nice.
So I don't remember. Maybe it was 10. I don't know.
I think it was 11.
It wasn't 11. It wasn't 10.
It was 12. It had to be 12. I think it was 12. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So 12, I won that one, and then I think that in 2011, the final three workouts, which were like back to back,
right?
I think I won 2 out of the 3.
Nice.
So, I'd like to win one this weekend. That would be pretty freaking cool.
But we'll see. Cool.
I'm not sure if Murph's the one I'm gonna win.
One more question, and this is not necessarily directly to do with you, but I think you have a great perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
CrossFit Deej said, do you ever see the games paying their judges a way to help legitimize the sport? And do you have an idea of how to make judging more consistent across the board?
You know, I for the amount of work that the judges do, I do think that they should get paid. They're up just as early or earlier than we are, especially this last 4 days. 3 days. I don't even know what day it is. So they really work super hard to do this. And I know that most of them are level one staff members at this point or even higher. But I think it would legitimize the sport even more if we did have a constant type judging thing, not relying on just, you know, volunteers for regionals. And there's always going to be room for error with judging, because we're all human, but it might keep everything a little bit more consistent. I would like to see it, absolutely, but I still think there's going to be calls that are kind of questionable, some that are just outright wrong, just because it's just human. It's humans, you know, judging other humans, but I would like to see it. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we know that you have to wake up early for Murph in about 12 hours. So
yep.
we want to let you go, but what is your approach to Murph this year? Just since we're on it.
So the route's going to be a little different. The workout Murph itself is going to be a little different than last year. We're going to run the mile still. And then we get into 5 rounds of 20 pull-ups, 40 push-ups, and 60 squats. So I think that actually is more beneficial to me in that format than it is just the straight 100, 200, 300. So I'm going to kind of move a little bit faster, not rest as much. I'm hoping that my runs go well. I've been training with the weight vest a little bit more this year, and the actual weight vest, since I have mine from last year. So I'm hoping that that's going to help me out a little bit. I'm going to have proper hydration. I'm going to make sure that, you know, I grab ice. I keep my body temperature as cool as possible during that whole workout, because I feel like I was completely overheated last year. I'm going to take a lot from what happened last year, and hopefully I'll be able to maximize my potential on that workout this time.
Nice. Well, we will be there watching and cheering for you. Thank you again for taking the time. We really appreciate it. And I know our listeners are super excited to hear from you.
Well,
if they want to follow you outside of this podcast, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram at Becca Voigt. They can also find me on CrossFit Training Yard's Instagram. Facebook, I'm on there as well for Becca Voigt. That's about it.
Cool. Very cool. If you guys want to follow us, we started a Snapchat and a Twitter on the way down here. And I don't know where that stuff is at.
Had a lot of time in the car. I think the Twitter is Beyond_Barbell.
Beyond_Barbell.
Right. And then Snapchat is same thing. Beyond_Barbell.
BTB podcast is the Snapchat. So we it's fun.
You guys sneak peeks.
Just sneak around and try to find it, and we'll add it on our accounts.
Yeah, just so you know, they didn't snap any of this, so we're really sorry.
We did.
You think?
Oh, we did. Yeah. Look at you. Yeah, you have to talk about snappable moments. So that's what snappable moments. That's what my training partners, Emily and Stacy and Ben, our coach, does. It's literally like you see something, you're like, oh my gosh, this is a perfect snappable moment. And then someone usually snaps it.
Well, we got 2 17-year-olds hanging out with us this weekend, so it's going to be great.
They're going to teach you a lot.
Yeah,
capture everything.
Yeah, you're really lucky that they're here.
Yeah, snappable moments. All right.
All right, Becca. Thanks again. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.